Welcome to the March 17th, 2026 Annals of Internal Medicine podcast. I'm Dr. Christine Lane, Annals Editor-in-Chief, with highlights of the new articles you'll find on annals.org. I'll start with two new position papers from the Ethics Committee of the American College of Physicians that address barriers to healthcare for people with disabilities and offer policy recommendations to make healthcare and medical education and training more inclusive and accessible. ACP says that disability as an aspect of diversity should be considered when making policy decisions, and that implementing the recommendations could improve care for patients with disabilities and ensure a diverse physician workforce reflective of American society. The two companion papers are titled Improving the Health and Access to Healthcare for People with Disabilities and Fostering Support and Inclusion for Physicians, Postgraduate Trainees, and Medical Students with Disabilities. ACP offers recommendations to improve access to and quality of healthcare for patients with disabilities through policy changes in areas such as health insurance coverage, accessibility of care facilities, health professional education, research participation, and data collection. ACP also offers policy recommendations to improve the accessibility of medical schools, training programs, and the practice of medicine, because a workforce that is inclusive of persons with disability will be better prepared to care for patients with disabilities. And in a special article from the American College of Physicians Immunization Committee, the ACP warns that recent U.S. Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention's introduction of a new, more limited vaccination schedule for U.S. children based on the Danish childhood vaccine schedule abandons longstanding science-based standards for vaccine policy and could put children at risk. ACP supports the American Academy of Pediatrics' independently developed 2026 childhood immunization schedule. After reviewing the pediatrics guidance, ACP concluded that the pediatric recommendations are more evidence-based than the current CDC recommendations, particularly in three key areas: protecting infants from respiratory syncytial virus, targeted COVID-19 vaccination, and earlier initiation of HPV vaccination. ACP believes that these evidence-based updates better protect children and support public health than the CDC's newly issued guidance. The authors also note that it's important for internal medicine physicians to address childhood vaccination because healthy children become healthy adults and are important to healthy families and communities. In addition, adult patients often ask their own physicians' views on issues related to their children's health. Systematic reviews can inform research, funding, and guideline decisions. However, it can be challenging to know if a systematic review has answered a research question conclusively. It is also unclear which methods exist for such assessments. A new article identified 62 methods related to assessing the conclusiveness of a systematic review's results, with 45 of these having at least one applied example. I encourage listeners involved in conducting systematic evidence reviews or in using them to develop clinical practice guidelines to take a look at this article. Annals previously published a study that found that firearm purchases soared in the U.S. during the COVID-19 pandemic. A new report from the same national survey estimates that nearly 30 million U.S. adults acquired firearms between 2021 and 2024, including more than 11 million people who became gun owners for the first time. These new owners also introduced guns into millions of households that previously had no guns, exposing about 9 million adults and 6.6 million children to firearms in their homes. Additionally, a disproportionately large share of new gun owners were members of subgroups, including women and people of color, historically underrepresented among gun owners. According to the authors, these patterns highlight the need for ongoing monitoring of firearm exposure and suggests that well-established risk of violent death associated with living in a home with guns has likely risen for millions of Americans who had previously been living in homes without guns. Next is an analysis of the 2025 American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology hypertension guidelines that estimated under the new guidelines about 11% of adults ages 65 to 79 with stage 1 hypertension would no longer qualify for blood pressure medication, a major shift from the previous guidance that recommended treatment for all adults in this age range. The newly exempt group is made up of generally healthy, lower-risk older adults whose predicted 10-year cardiovascular risk falls below the new treatment threshold. In the U.S., primary care physicians are overworked, under-reimbursed, underappreciated, and hard to find. In a new Ideas and Opinions commentary, Dr. Richard Kravitz proposes a potential solution. He writes about changes in the ways health systems and subspecialists interact with primary care physicians that could lead to transformation that would improve the patient experience, lower overall costs, reverse erosion of the primary care workforce, and ultimately create more satisfying and purposeful primary care careers. Another Ideas and Opinions commentary discusses the need to incentivize deprescribing and move towards performance metrics that emphasize healthcare quality over quantity. In January 2026, the U.S. administration issued the 2025 to 2030 Dietary Guidelines for Americans. A commentary by Dr. Alice Lichtenstein of Tufts University discusses the new recommendations and writes, quote, "Many elements are encouraging. Recommendations to achieve energy balance, prioritize minimally processed foods, limit added sugars, salt, and highly processed items, increase vegetable and fruit intake, and shift from refined to whole grains. However, what has stolen the show are the seemingly contradictory recommendations that saturated fat account for less than 10% of total energy intake, coupled with the recommendations to increase protein intake by 50 to 100%, and promotion of meat and full-fat dairy, major food sources of saturated fat. Notably absent is an explicit recommendation to consume sources of plant oils rich in polyunsaturated fat, the major food sources of essential fatty acids critical for healthy growth, development, and maintenance," end quote. Consequently, Dr. Lichtenstein believes that it will be challenging to design diets consistent with this guidance. The topic of this month's In the Clinic review is atopic dermatitis. Go to annals.org to refresh your knowledge on this common condition and earn CME and MOC credits when you do. That brings us to the end of this podcast. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll go to annals.org to read some of the new articles I've highlighted here. Thanks to Beth Jenkinson, Andrew Langman, and Bernie Turner for their technical support.